Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Showtime. How y'all feel?
You got your popcorn ready.
On three. One, two, three.
This is Wichita's Sports Daily with Bruce Hurdle and Shane Dennis on Sports Radio KFH, 1240 AM, 97.5 FM.
And welcome back. Hour number two, Sports Daily. Shane and Bruce and Jad, and we're awaiting Casey Walkup. He's a commissioner of the Sunflower Collegiate League. This is an interesting and a really difficult undertaking, even in the best of circumstances, and that's to be a commissioner of a summer baseball league. But when you throw in the COVID and a couple of teams that have decided to throw in the towel, and a couple of huge summer baseball leagues long ago did, frankly, the Cape Cod League and the Alaska League, quite a while ago, decided to cancel summer baseball for some potential collegiate kids to play in really high-profile leagues. Well, one league has tried to press on, even without a couple of teams, and that's the Sunflower Collegiate League. And we're efforting Casey Walkup, the commissioner of said league, and wouldn't you agree, Bruce, that even in the best of times, being in the head of a summer collegiate league would have so many challenges and just headaches, frankly, because you've got team managers and GMs and player placement, and not everybody's going to be happy all the time, and to try to do it in the middle of a pandemic, or maybe not in the middle, maybe that's overstating things. Man, God bless everybody that has the patience to try to see that through, and that's what the SCL is going to try to do starting here in a week or so.
Obviously, there's great passion for the game of baseball. Anyone that knows Casey and his family and that you totally understand it and appreciate it. A lot of challenges, as you mentioned, Shane, that you have to deal with on a year-to-year basis in the best of times. These are obviously the most challenging of times. I'm not going to say the worst of times, but certainly they're the most challenging of times to be able to guarantee, and there is no guarantee, but at least, you know, to make strong moves towards people's health. I'm curious about how that's going to work, but, certainly, I'm a guy I love the culture of summer baseball. You and I both did it for many, many years in different ways, and it's got great value on so many different levels. But I am wondering about the timing and how it works this year, and some of the challenges that they're facing in trying to make it a safe enterprise for those youngsters that are involved.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, I thought about this even when I was playing. You know, you have to scratch and claw and raise money and have car washes and have all kinds of stuff just for your particular – I'm talking about – I played for Liberal, who's really a juggernaut in the Jayhawk League back in the day. But just to function, and you got to have host families. I mean, that's kind of where this starts. You got to have places to put these players. You can't put them in apartments. It's impossible. You got to have families that will house sometimes as many as four guys if you got a big enough house, you know, and sponsors and the whole thing, which I know Casey can attest to when we get him here. But I can remember when I was a player, even at 19, 20 years old, going, man, how do they do this? And, you know, it was the Jayhawk League was very well attended. Of course, it's no longer, but we had Liberal and Hayes and Nevada and Wichita Broncos, El Dorado Broncos. Back in the day, it was the Hutch Broncos, you know,
Tons and
Red Oak, Iowa, and Clarinda, Iowa, and places that you would have never heard of if you didn't play summer baseball, and the long bus trips. And, you know, I didn't fully respect it then, but was aware of it then. It was like, man, how do these leagues survive year after year? But to your point, it's you talk about for love of the game and the passion of it. Guys like J.D. Schneider over the years.
Oh, my God.
You know, just
guys like that.
Pouring your heart and soul into just about 2 months, basically. You know?
The passion that you have to undertake that kind of challenges, it's beyond my ability to even relate to, because it's, I mean, you're just swimming upstream the
whole
time.
All the time.
I mean,
yeah.
You're just, you know, constantly.
And, you know, players in the springtime get hurt, they bail. Maybe your host parents bail on you. We go to the hotline now with Casey Walkup, the commissioner of the Sunflower Collegiate League, and you're going to try to press on. You're going to be a couple of teams short, but Bruce and I, Casey, were just talking about the labor of love that it has to have for a collegiate league even to survive in the best of times. How have things been going with you? Anybody you've been using as a sounding board, and ultimately the decision not to cancel the SCL when the Alaska League and the Cape Cod League did it a long time ago?
Well, man, it's been a whirlwind. I'll tell you that much. I mean, summer ball is kind of a whirlwind and been one in the last several years. A lot different than when the three of us played, that's for dang sure. I mean, you know, now there's a million different leagues that are across the country, and everybody's fighting for the same players, and you know, especially this year, you get into this pandemic, and then you got leagues dropping like flies, and you don't have players playing in the spring, so now they're dying to play, and you know, so this year it's been different in a lot of different ways. We've had several players that have reached out to us, knowing that we are probably one of the few leagues that are still going to play. And, you know, unfortunately and fortunately, I guess, we don't have room for any more players, really.
Mm-hmm.
We could always use a few more arms, but, you know, the beauty, I guess, of it for us this year is going to be we're going to have a lot more Division I players on our roster. So it's going to get back to, you know, a more of an old Jayhawk time look when we played, where there were several Division I players. We'll probably have 20 to 25 Wichita State Shockers on our rosters this year, which is going to be something that's new for us. And in our fourth year, you know, we've had a few Shockers sprinkled in, but not nearly that many. But, you know, to kind of answer your question, Shane, a lot of it was just kind of a wait and see game.
Mm-hmm.
We looked at it May 1, I believe it was, and kind of looked at where we were at. Then we looked again about May 15th, and we saw that this phase two and stuff wasn't going to get here by June 1, which is when our original start date was going to be. So we, at that point, decided, you know what, I think it was actually in May that we decided, you know, beginning of May, that we need at least a month to kind of get prepared. And it was hard because at that point, you couldn't ask for sponsors. It was really... Mm-hmm. kind of asinine to almost ask for host families.
Right.
You know, who's going to open up their house to during a pandemic? So we decided May 1st to look closer to June 15th as a start date. And as the weeks went by and days went by, it started looking more favorable, more favorable, more favorable. And here we are the 3rd of June. And, And we're scheduled to start on June 15th, and, you know, we're still trying to finalize everything.
All right, Case. It basically boils down to the question of, I mean, testing here is going to be obviously, I can't imagine it's within the price range of your operations. So how are you going to navigate this whole health issue in the midst of a pandemic, even if it's in the waning part of a pandemic, or at least the middle of a pandemic? I don't know where the hell this thing ends up. But how do you deal with that, Case? How are you guys working on that?
Well, we've put together some protocols and guidelines for our teams, and you know, the state has done a very good job of outlining kind of what the allowances are by recreational facilities. So for fans and stuff like that, that's probably going to be handed down to us by our landlords, if you will, the places that we're playing, mm-hmm. the schools, mm-hmm. the counties, and so on and so forth, cities. And so that, for fans and stuff, I mean, I think we're going to see a lot of no bleachers, you know, lawn chairs. Maybe some places will, or maybe they may not have concessions. But there's not going to be any, you know, lines a mile long at concessions. They're going to have to social distance in those lines. Restrooms are going to need to probably be spread out a little bit, you know, closing off every other stall, if you will.
Yep.
So those are the types of things that the state has done a really good job of outlining. And fortunately, the person that has put together those guidelines for the state is one of our Hutch Monarch's key contacts in Hutchinson in Reno County. So we've been very close contact with him. And in fact, we just had a meeting with him yesterday. And I think that by June 15th, phase four or three or four is going to be here. And that's kind of the phase out period. So there's going to be minimal restrictions at that point. But I think for what you're looking at, Bruce, is more from a team standpoint. And we do have guidelines in play for that. I've talked with Dr. Andrew Porter from Via Christi Sports Medicine. He's been very instrumental and very helpful in providing us with some suggestions on kind of how to approach this. And, you know, we're going to take measures of disinfecting bleacher or benches and helmet racks and baseballs and so on and so forth in dugouts. And we're going to try to extend dugouts with some additional areas down the foul line to where players may not all be in a dugout or in the bullpen, but they might kind of be spread out, you know, throughout the foul line, so to speak. So social distancing, keeping players away from one another, minimal contact, you know, the high fives and the chest bumps and all that stuff is probably a thing of the past, at least for the near future anyway. So,
punishments, you know, for high fives nowadays, man.
Right. But, you know, I think the nuts and bolts to what we really all are looking for is how do we handle a case? And right now, I think it's monitoring symptoms. We're going to do daily temperature checks, kind of like all the businesses are doing around our communities now. We'll do daily temperature checks, kind of monitor any symptoms, you know, the normal symptoms that we all are now so familiar with. But and if they have any of those, we're going to keep them away. And at that point, if they have those symptoms, then they're going to contact a physician or an urgent care facility. Get their recommendation. If they feel they need to come in and get tested, they will. If not, then they will pretty much kind of self-quarantine or stay away from their teams until those symptoms are gone for 48 hours or 48 to 72 hours. And if we do have a positive test, you know, we will try to self-isolate that person. And if there are more than one positive tests on a team, then that team will likely need to be quarantined for 14 days. So, yes, the tests aren't readily available, Bruce, but
sure.
You know, I think we all know symptoms, and from what we hear, the symptoms are very identifiable,
yeah,
for what we're dealing
cut.
With. So, you know, we're going to give it a whirl, and you know what? I hate to even think about this, but there might be a chance that you know, we come middle of June or middle of July, early July, that we have some teams with it, and you know, maybe we got to reevaluate at that point. I mean,
right.
As we all know, this is so fluid, and
sure.
Here we are 12 days away from wanting to get going, and a lot can happen in 12 days. 12 days ago, you know, we were still wondering if we were going to be able to play. So, just crossing my fingers and hoping that we can get to June 15th and get rolling, and hopefully we can kind of keep people away from one another and as much as we possibly can, and provide an opportunity for these kids to potentially play some baseball for the first time in almost the first time this year. Obviously,
yeah.
They might have had a couple weeks of spring season, but that was very minimal. So.
Yeah. Head of the Sunflower Collegiate League, Casey Walkup, joining us here on the hotline. They're going to try to press on and have summer baseball here inside of a couple of weeks. You're going to have to do it without your full complement of teams, and I'm sure it was up to each individual team whether they wanted to participate this summer, right, Casey? And who are we missing?
Well, I think the want to use that term lightly, because everybody wanted to, there's no doubt. But there had to be some decisions made, and beginning of May, our Andale Warhawks team decided that it was probably not in their best interest as an organization to try to play this summer. They really didn't want to, they hadn't had a lot of host families secured yet at that point and sponsors, and they were concerned that they were going to be able to do that. As we talked earlier, you know, it was not a really good time to solicit host families or sponsors at the beginning of May. So they kind of shut it down a little bit earlier than our other program, and we just learned on Sunday that the El Dorado Broncos are not going to be able to participate this summer. And I think it's a lot to do with the same things, you know, not being able to secure enough host families, sponsors, running into a few issues with the facility and how they're having to change some of their practices at that facility that weren't going to be conducive to the way they typically operated. And, you know, finding some players and arms, as you guys all know, it's always been about who's got the pitching in the summer to be competitive. And they weren't able to secure the amount of pitching either that they were looking at. So I think Sunday it kind of came to a culmination to where they decided that it would be in their best interest not to play this summer. So we are at nine teams. Unfortunately, that provides us an odd number of teams and kind of makes for a scheduling issue. But I think what we're going to end up doing is we're going to add another team. It's called the Sunflower Collegiate League Seeds. Sunflower Seeds will be a one-year deal for our
awesome.
League this year. And the Cheney Diamond Dogs organization is helping put that together. But, we decided that was an opportunity to give, 30 more kids a place to play in the summer. So we mm-hmm. wanted to do that when we found out Andale was not going to be able to play, and that put us back at 10 teams. But now with El Dorado going down, that puts us back down to nine. But what we're going to do is we're going to fill the El Dorado games with some various schedules, with maybe Liberal BJs are going to play a couple of our teams on those off series. And then we're also going to look at playing some younger high school 18-year-old teams, which, you know, it can be good for a lot of reasons, especially for those local high school academies and teams that are looking to play and play against a little better competition. So, you know, it's kind of a way to kind of give back in a way to our community and the baseball community. But it's also a way that they can kind of bail us out, because we are in a bind right now, and,
yep.
and we don't want players or teams sitting for six straight days because they have a series that wasn't able to be fulfilled. So
right.
They're going to fill that void for us, which will be awesome. And again, I think that one cool thing this summer is we're gonna play at X Stadium again on Tuesday nights. We work with Wichita State. We're going to play a doubleheader at 5 and 7:30 again over there on Tuesday nights, starting – right now, we're planning to start June 16th, unless something else changes. But you know, it's been fun to work with Brad Pittman, and he's obviously given some direction over there as well with how we can look at different things throughout the season. So we've had a good support system. A lot of good people in the community have tried to provide with as much information as they possibly can. But honestly, I mean, as you and I talked last week, Shane, a lot of it's just been kind of more wait and see. I mean, it definitely hasn't been any – I haven't had a crystal ball to try to predict when we could and couldn't play, but it was a lot of wait and see and just conversing with our 10 teams and trying to devise a plan that was realistic. I think that was the biggest thing is, can we realistically play June 1st, or can we realistically play June 15th, or do we need to wait until July 1st, you know? And fortunately, when we made the June 15th announcement, everything kind of fell into place to allow that timeline to hopefully come to fruition here in a few weeks.
Well, it would have been easy just to bang the whole thing and say, look, we'll see you in 2021. So Bruce and I both
easier on me, that's for sure.
No doubt, no doubt.
Yeah,
so,
I hear you.
Hey,
well,
best of luck, man, and thanks for the time and shedding some light on this and becoming, once again, the only summer baseball in Wichita.
Yeah, no, I appreciate you guys having me on, and you know, we might be the only sports to talk about this summer, so hopefully we'll stay in touch.
And a lot of Shockers playing in the SCL, too, so that's awesome.
That'll
for Shocker baseball fans.
Yeah.
Thanks,
that'll
Case.
That'll be fun. Thank you, guys. Have a good one.
All right. Casey Walkup, the head of the Sunflower Collegiate League. They're going to press on, and apparently with a lot of Shockers on those nine teams' rosters. Speaking of the Shockers, this is the anniversary of the throw. On this day in 1991, Steve Bruns was made infamous by Jim Audley, who threw a dart to the home plate to Doug Mirabelli to help secure an extra inning 3-2 Shocker win over Creighton in a raucous Rosenblatt Stadium. We will talk to Shocker legend Jim Audley on the anniversary of the throw when we come back.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.